Want to say thanks to the choir, the musicians. And the singers, amen. It's always a blessing to come and have time to give praise to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You think about praising him all through the week. Amen. So we're going to go ahead. We have an interesting topic today that has been impressed into my spirit to talk with you about. And I'm going to read something here. Now, this may seem to be, this is a passage you don't hear a lot in a regular church setting. A lot of times you hear this passage at funerals and things of that sort. But there's some very profound wisdom in this section that was brought to my attention. So I want to discuss it here with you today. So read with me, if you don't mind, from the Old Covenant, from the book of Job.
Yeah.
And then we'll read a passage from the New Covenant. This is Job 14. And then the New Covenant from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Amen. And this passage, as I said, we don't hear a lot in other contexts for whatever reason, but we want to talk about it today. I think it has some significant benefits for the body of Christ. So let's read Job 14 and 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth not open thine eyes upon such as one and bring me into judgment with thee. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, and he cannot pass. Turn from him, that he may rest, till he has accomplished the hireling his day. That's Job 14, the first six verses. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And now for New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, when we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For whom God hath commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts, and to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Six verses from 2 Corinthians. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to use just for a topic today for our thoughts. We're going to talk about nurturing the fullness of the power of light over darkness. Nurturing the fullness of the power of light over darkness. Very interesting topic in God's word, light and darkness. It starts in the very beginning in the creation scenario when God is explaining through Moses how he created everything. I was fascinated at condensedness, for lack of a better word, is condensed how God talks about how he made everything. 31 verses in the first chapter of Genesis, and everything is made, and God sees it as good and it's very good. Just 31 verses, it's amazing, and that's the whole creation. And a lot of that had to do with the concept of light and darkness. And so it started all the way in the beginning. Now I want you to think about this before we take up our topic here. Think about this. The scripture says this in 1 John chapter 5. It says that 1 John, I should say, chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, that's pretty interesting. Just the very idea that says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so in the beginning narrative, it says here that God saw the light after he had made the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. There must have been a time when darkness and light were combined somehow, which is hard for me to imagine how that could be. Because once you turn on the light, what happens to the darkness?
Disappears.
The light pushes the darkness away. That's amazing though, isn't it? And think about this, that means that the light has what? More power than the darkness.
Amen.
And so this is where I wanted to get your head today, just to think on this. The light has more power than the darkness. God had to make an accommodation for darkness and light to exist together in some fashion. But he chose in his infinite wisdom to give the light power over the darkness. And maybe that has to do with the character of God, the fact that God is light, as we have said in 1 John 1, verse 5. And in him is no darkness at all. So that's quite a thought, isn't it? Now we're going somewhere. I want you to stick with me here. But I wanted to give you some groundwork. Notice what it says. Genesis 1, 5 says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And we've been seeing night and day all of our lives. Every single 24 hours, light and day have been going around coexisting, so to speak. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So that was the first thing on his list, was to deal with this idea of light and darkness. We're going somewhere. Keep that in your mind. I'm trying to get you set up here to understand this blessing that God has given here. And it says here, notice in Genesis 1:18, it says, and to rule over the day and over the night, he gave the sun and the moon. He made, let's call it stellar bodies of light, and one of less light just to reside over the night, so that we would never be without light. Mm-hmm. Even at night, there's a moon that's going to give you some light. See what I'm saying? Even in the darkest times of your life, God has some light for you at all times, even though darkness is in fashion. Okay, that's illustrated to you every day. Every single day. We say things are just as sure as the rising of the sun. We praise God, what, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Right? And so notice now also, and I have to take you one more spot here. He says in Job 3, let the day be darkness. Now he's talking about the day of his birth. And let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Job was in a bad situation. Most of you know about Job, and Job sometimes can seem depressing. I always tell people, if you disciple somebody, don't ever start them in the book of Job. But they might go, oh my goodness, you know, I may not understand. But I want you to see some things, because I want you to understand something out of the tragedy that Job faced, that there's some hope involved in it. Now Job puts it this way here in his book, chapter 14, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You know, we say trouble won't last always, and that's true, really. It doesn't. It doesn't last all the time. He cometh forth like a flower, which is a beautiful thing, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. In order for there to be a shadow, what do you need? You need some light, don't you? Come on now. Get with me here. Y'all gonna catch this in a minute. It's gonna come to you. It says if he fleeth like a shadow, you see that? Also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment? He says, I'm only here for a brief time. Now he's kind of petitioning with God about why am I having trouble? What's going on? What did I do? We always say that, you know, when you get into a situation, well, where did I go wrong? What did I do? You know, and sometimes this is what I want you to know, is that trouble is going to teach you some things. You know what? Paul put it this way. He said, tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope. Yeah. See, so there's a benefit to the troubles that you go through and things you don't understand. Why am I involved in this? Why am I going through this? And Job's asking these questions. Then he goes back, even said this might be the reason here. Verse 4, Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. In other words, original sin is my problem. My parents were sinful, and so am I. So, and we love to blame stuff on our parents. We've been seeing that all the time. You see it on every TV show. Oh, my mother dropped me on my head when I was a baby. And we want to blame somebody else for the reason why I'm having trouble. Oh, we have a curse of alcoholism in our family. Or whatever. Folks want to blame somebody else, you see. And then he said, well, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, and the number of his months are with thee. In other words, God knows your appointed times and all that. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. We can't change anything about that. So you can see the kind of predicament he's in. Now, y'all know what happened to Job, in case you don't. There was a proposition that God made with the devil. He said, Satan was there. He was with the other angels. And God said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? But it was God who initiated that conversation. You go, whoa, God initiated that? Yes. And then Satan said, well, you know what? Only because you bless him, that's the only reason he cares about you. You put a hedge around him. You won't let me get him when I want to get him. You won't let me come in and bust up his life. And if you do, he'll cuss you to your face. That's what the devil said. You know what God said? He said, you know what? Job is an upright man who fears God and eschews evil. He won't do that. He's got faith. You just don't know who he is. And you don't know how much he appreciates everything that I've given him. See? And so he said, okay, I'm going to move the hedge. If that's what you say is the reason, just to show you that Job will still stand. He'll come through like gold, tried by fire. And so, of course, you know the story. The devil went in and started to strike everything in his life. And I just say that to say that sometimes when you're going through, realize that the Lord is teaching you some things. He's blessing you. He's building you up. He's allowing this stuff here to create good qualities in us.
All right.
And he does that for reasons. You know, with some stuff, we would never get to the point of being kind and patient and those kind of things, or even to pursue something difficult if God didn't allow us to get past difficult times. And so God knows that. Now, keep this in mind. The devil is God's devil for all practical purposes.
That's right.
Because the Bible tells us he's going to be destroyed.
That's right.
Cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. You see, and everybody who loves a lie, people who don't understand the reality of the truth. So his destination is already determined too, just as much as Job said he thought his was. And some stuff we don't learn until we're in the crucible of trouble. And I say this to encourage you, not to discourage you.
Okay.
Because you may be going through some stuff in your life. There might be stuff you don't understand. Might be things you don't see how it's going to come out. And they seem very difficult and something you'd rather skip if you could.
Yeah.
See? But God says when you go through that thing, just like the psalmist said, as we mentioned in the prayer, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yeah.
That's the thing we have to remember. God is with you.
Yes.
Not only is he with you, but God is for you.
Yes.
See, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies might not want you to have a snack, but God say, I'm going to prepare a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
So that you can eat till your cup run over.
Yeah.
See, your cup is full. You got everything you need prepared before you, even in the presence of your enemies. Notice what Job goes on to say. I'm going to finish up this little section here. See, he says his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. You have appointed the bounds that he cannot pass. In other words, nobody's going to do anything that God doesn't know about. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Just let him finish up his day's work. Kind of a null opinion about this. But what I want you to see is that in the midst of all of your darkness, whatever you're going through, a dark time in your life, a transition, there might be, and sometimes darkness just means I don't know how things are going to turn out. You know, I'm fearful about how this might be. If I take a step here, am I going to be in a good spot? Or am I going to be in a bad spot? Is this going to take me down? And we worry sometimes. And I want you to know that you can trust God, whatever you're doing. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you aspire to do, It may not look cheery all the way through, but God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I'll be with you in trouble. Remember Psalms 91? Talks about those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the what? The shadow of the Almighty. You see what I'm saying? You're under the shadow of God. He's covering you. He's protecting you. So no matter what happens, he said, 10,000 might fall at that side. One, he said, 1,000 may fall at that side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So God has promised you passage, even though trouble might be all around you. See that? And so it's very important for us to get some grip on the reason why God allows us to have difficult situations. He allows us to have stuff that looks insurmountable. He gives us challenges like he told the disciples. He said, all the people are hungry. They said, oh, well, let's send them home so they can go and eat. He said, no, you feed them.
Right.
See? So God will put a load on your plate. Here. And they said, well, how are we going to feed them? We only got $25 in the treasury. Yeah, well, and that ain't enough for all these people. They start looking at a human way. How am I going to do what you said we can do? See, and when we do that, sometimes we start to back up. Another one came, I think he may have been being sarcastic. Well, here's a little kid over here with a lunch sack. You know, that could have been sarcasm. I don't know what made him come bring the thing. Some people say he had faith. I don't know what happened. But there was a situation they couldn't deal with. They had been told to deal with it. Just like you and me, we've been told to go into all the world and teach all the nations. Well, how are we going to do that out of Wellston, God? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The Lord has commanded this to the church. So you got big stuff that God has given you to do. Just like they did here. So it's normal for us when we experience difficulties in life. Therefore, it is most important that we come to understand some spiritual facts so that we can be equipped to deal with the veil of darkness. That might put a veil of darkness over you and how it presses against the light all the time. That's one thing to think about. When the darkness comes, the light is always available to you. But God has divided the light from the darkness and gave the light power over the darkness. In the same manner, regardless of what you and I have to go through, if we believe in God through His Son and His Word, we can learn to attain a God-honoring attitude while we are going through any and every situation in life. Your why? Because the light has more power than the darkness. The darkness is momentary. It's going to come like Paul later on in this same chapter. He told the Corinthians, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison.
Yes.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So, with your mindset on eternity, you can deal with temporal stuff that seems out of whack.
Amen.
And understand that anything you go through has a benefit for you, and it's going to hone you and make you sharper.
Yes.
It's going to develop you and make you better.
Uh-huh.
It's going to expand you to do God's will.
Yeah.
And it's not easy all the time. And if God subjected His own Son to it, who do we think we are?
Uh-huh.
Think about what Jesus went through. It was dark quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
He had folks who were supposed to be His people who hated on Him.
Uh-huh.
They hated on Him. They said, well, what you doing down there hanging out with all those sinners?
Uh-huh.
And we're up here with the holy people.
Uh-huh.
See, you didn't come up here. You down there with the sinners.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they scandalized His name. They put darkness upon Him, although He was light.
Uh-huh.
Himself, He was the light of life.
Yes, it was.
Job says this, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. In other words, everybody born has trouble, and he's right.
Yeah.
Now notice what he goes on to say here, though. I want you to get this. He says that he has a few days, which is indicative of, now this is the most, this verse, it just hit me, kind of came out of the word and got into my head after I was reading it.
Uh-huh.
It says, man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. There's only one man that has truly only been born of a woman. Only one. Nobody but Jesus.
How many days is a few days? We would say three, right? Think about Jesus after 3 days and three nights when he took the darkness of death up on him and tasted it for every man. And it was full of trouble. He took all my trouble, all of your trouble, took everybody's trouble.
Hallelujah.
You see what I'm saying? He's born of a woman, only one truly. And he's of a few days and full of trouble. He took all the trouble with him when he went. And then he says, and he comes forth like a flower, but he is cut down. So I just want you to see one thing there is that Job, in the thickness of this verse, tells us about Christ himself. Mm-hmm. And he spoke that his days were full of trouble, and this was ever manifested, but Jesus victoriously defeated it and rose from the dead. He took all the trouble and got out of the grave, even death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scariest one in the stack.
Yes,
well, that's the scariest deal in the stack is death. But Jesus tasted death for every man, is what it says in the book of Hebrews. See, he went into ultimate darkness in order to restore you and give you light. And he says, let your light so shine. He says, when I'm in the world, what? I am the light of the world, Jesus said. But now that you're in the world, he says, ye are the light of the world. So your life is a light in the midst of darkness. So you should think about yourself as taking the power of light that God has given you. Paul even said, put on the armor of light.
Amen.
Didn't he? You know why? Because when you go through a dark situation, you have a different set of things working on your behalf to help you to persevere.
That's right.
No matter what it is. That's why sometimes our countenance, the way we carry ourselves, the way we deal with other people,
mm-hmm.
will cause them to see the light
mm-hmm.
that's in you. Yeah. And Jesus said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So his purpose for that is giving us instructions so that we know that even whatever trouble we're going through, God knows about it.
Yes.
He's strengthening you. He's going to give you power and authority to continue to walk in it. You know what's going to happen as the light comes in? What do you think is going to happen to the darkness? It's going to go away. See what I'm saying? The light has more power. So you need to learn how to develop that mindset. That when I'm in a dark time, going through a situation that's over my head, something I can't see the end of it. We always even say we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We like to say, people like to say that for some reason. But you can go through. You have internal light. God has filled you with the Spirit. You know, he gives you his word. His word is light to our soul. When we hear the word and we can trust in what God says, trust in the Lord what? With all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand how God is doing what he's giving you. You know, God usually gives you something to do and you figure it out on the way. He told Abraham, get out. Get out your country. Get out your father's house. Come to a land I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you where it is. I'm just going to show you. And how am I going to know you believe me? Because you get out.
Get out.
And you leave. You abandon this here. And now I'm going to go where you're showing me.
Yes, Lord.
The writer to the Hebrews said Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know. He said, you know, this is security over here. I got my father's inheritance. I got his cattle, his sheep, his house, his land, all his properties, his servants, everything would be mine. And I got it made already.
Yeah.
But he said, get out.
Get out.
Get thee out.
Get thee out.
And come to a land that I'll show you.
All right, now.
And I'll bless you and make your name great. He might have been thinking, well, you know, I'm already blessed.
Right.
I'm blessed now. Why should I get out?
Yeah.
This looks like a blessing to me.
Yeah.
But it says that he, by faith, believed that God was able to bless him even beyond where he
was.
It wasn't about the material so much.
Mm-hmm.
Although he was given many, many more things, material things, he went through wars, had to fight people that were against him, that hated him, he had all kinds of enemies. See, God gave him the victory.
Yes, he did.
God continued to multiply his flocks, and all that gave him the fruit of his body, which had been barren for all those years.
Amen.
See what I mean? So you can trust God beyond where you are.
Yes, you can.
If he told you to do it, he's giving you the drive to do it, guess what?
Get out.
You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it. You just need to trust him. You don't have to see it. Just trust him. So you have to learn to nurture the fullness of the power of light over the darkness that's in your situation. Now look at this, what Paul said. We're going to get to this, and then we can probably hang our thoughts on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, that's something you have. God has given you a ministry. He turned it over to us. We saw several times, and I want to just remind you of this. People came to God. They needed understanding. For example, Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 10. He's one of the few people in the Bible that it says that his works were so good that it went up before God as a memorial.
Yes,
like, wow.
Yes,
and he was an Italian. He was a Gentile. So he had good works, and you think God would just say, okay, I'm going to save you. But you know what? He didn't do that. You know what he told him to do? Go down there and get Peter. Go to Joppa. And get Peter. He didn't tell him to go. He said, send someone to Joppa. And he sent servants. Cornelius did. You know what? I would have been tempted to let me go myself. You know? But he didn't go. He sent servants because God told him to send for Peter. See what I'm saying? So then he start packing the house. I'm telling all the neighbors. He's going up there to get this Peter to tell me something from God. My point is, God has authorized you to tell people. He's not going to tell them himself. God doesn't tell you the gospel. The church does. We see that over and over. So you need to see how important you are to God. You are his agent on earth. He's going to send people to you for you to tell them the gospel. I'm not telling them. Your works are excellent. Yeah, I see that. I do. But you need to go see Peter. Why? Because I put him in charge. Another reason, God was working on Peter too. Peter said, well, you know, I'm still trying to be clean and eat a clean diet. And God had to show him unclean animals being dropped down in a sheet from heaven while he was in a trance.
Amen.
And he saw it, and God said to him in the trance, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. You know that song we just sang? Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's the only answer. If you're going to say, Lord, you must say yes. You can't say, no, Lord. How am I your Lord if you're telling me no? But Peter said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. Well, you got an issue, dude. And so he was letting him know, you get up, somebody's coming to your door. Peter may not have went because Gentiles were coming to his door. So God prepared him by showing him the animals that were unclean. Told him, rise, kill and eat. So I want you to know, even though you've been serving God, you may have some hang-ups that's stopping you from moving on forward in God. See, but realize he authorizes you and me. We are the authorized ones to go. See, everyone in the church that's called is equipped and authorized to go and tell the story. See, teach as you are going. The literal Greek in the Great Commission says, as you are going into the world, teach. That means wherever you go, you are the authorized agent to make disciples of all the nations.
Amen.
See, sometimes we have to put our own self aside because we may not be feeling all the nations. Sometimes you go, hey, them folks, I can't even understand what they're saying. Tell them the gospel. Explain it the best you can. You don't know. God may do a phenomenon like he did with the tongue before. You tell them this, and, well, I understood exactly what you said. And you won't understand why they did. See, it's possible. But keep in mind, you are light in the Lord. That's what Paul said. Take unto you the armor of light. Because the light has more authority, more power than the darkness. In other words, it could be a darkness of ignorance. I don't know how this is going to be. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I can't see my way to the end of it. But God says, move out and let the fullness of the power of light press away the darkness that's in your life. In other words, have faith. Faith is the product of you believing what God said and moving out. Even though you don't see how it's going to turn out. So Paul is saying here, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. In other words, we're not tricking anybody. This is no trick deal. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, not trying to bend the truth. We keep saying exactly what it says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, if people don't get it, it's not your fault. He said it is hid to them that are lost. Now, we looked at that when we were talking about the Jews and the people who did whatever they wanted to do when they were crucifying Jesus. See what I mean? They were in innocuous compliance. I said, I don't know if y'all remember that term. It's kind of somewhat a little ridiculous. But that's the only thing I could think of that it describes people who are doing God's will and don't even know they're doing it. And it's even though it's negative and it's evil, the thing that they're doing. And it's not that he wants them to do that. Don't misunderstand me. It's that they want to do that, and so they're doing what they want to do, and they don't know God already said you would be doing that. That's the point. Is that he said there will be people who will come to his own, and his own will not receive him. That certain things will happen, and they did that, but they don't believe God. So God is always using folks who don't believe him, you know, to get his will accomplished in the world. So it may seem like darkness to me and you, and it is. But what you have to understand is what God has invested in you is light. He's giving you power over the darkness. You have to remember that.
That's right.
A lot of stuff you go, boy, this is a dark situation here. I don't see how it's going to come out. But just remember who called you. Who authorized you? Who blessed you? Who gave you the understanding? Who gave you the order to go and do it? So as you're going, you can accomplish whatever God has put in your spirit to do.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you're going to accomplish it without resistance. You know, there will be resistance. Jesus put it this way, John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So that's what I'm saying to you today. Be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. And I told you this because in the world you will have tribulation. There's going to be darkness pressing to try to overtake you. Don't collapse. Realize that you are light and the light has more power than the darkness. You have to keep on bringing yourself back around to that point. And notice what else it says here. Now, as Paul's writing, he's going on to say that, but if the gospel is hid, realize it will be. Some people will not receive it. That's why Jesus says, shake the dust if you tell them and they don't receive it. That is not your problem. One plants and another waters, Paul said. But God gives the increase. It may not be that your planting or your watering is sufficient for that particular person to let the darkness go and come into the light. See, don't worry about it. The Lord told you what to do. Do your part and go. If they don't receive you, if they receive you, then sit with them a while and give them more information. You know, and I'm going to say this. I have to say this right here because there's a lot of people out here want to argue about stuff. They want to waste all your time. But I don't believe. Now, what about this? Why does it say this over here and that over there? When they come like that, if they have a dark attitude, you know, I'm going to tell them, well, you know what I said to the last one who said that? Brother, you need to pray about that.
That's right.
I got some stuff I'm dealing with now. I'm ready to go pray about it. Bye, see you. I don't have time to argue with you. I haven't been called to argue with anybody. I've been called to tell you the truth. I just told you the truth. Now you're trying to tell me there's something wrong with the truth. So I don't have any more time for that. And I don't have to be evil or mean against you. But I have some people who might want to hear the truth over here. And I don't have time to waste with you because the clock is ticking. So I'm going to go over here. I'm not going to spend my time arguing with you. That's a waste of my time. See, I told you the truth. I'm done. That's why boy, Jesus says, shake the dust. We got folks who now in the so-called religions tell you if they don't believe, the infidels don't believe, cut their heads off. So what you going to do? Just send them on to hell then, right? They don't believe, cut off their heads, send them to hell. That's the result of that. If you think, you think through it. The Lord didn't say that. He said, shake the dust and get going. Not your job. See, we're not in here to be executioners and judgment folks for God. God will do that when the time is right. And prayerfully, they'll come out of it before then. So this is the next thing Paul says, for we preach not ourselves. It's not about me. He says, but it's about Jesus. And we are his servants for Jesus' sake. So the God of this world is the one blinding the minds of those who don't believe. See, he's given darkness to their mind where they do not understand or do not believe what God said. And then he says here, Because otherwise they would see that the glorious gospel of Christ is the light of the world, who is the image of God, it would shine through to them. So just realize that. That's why this is written here. It's not written for you to do something. It's written for you to understand something. You tell them they don't get it, okay, not your job. Move along.
Yeah.
The other folks who will get it. There's going to be some folks right up the road, just a piece or in time, that will believe you. And if they do, don't take credit for it, because it wasn't out of you. Somebody else was there watering the day before, or planting the day before, or last week or last year. So we don't go, oh, you know, I've got to put notches on my belt. I'm 17, came to Christ. No, you don't know that. And it's not, you don't get the glory, God does. See? So it ain't got nothing to do with you. You planted or you watered. That's what Paul said. He said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? You know, nothing but servants through whom you believe. So don't go get taking up credit yourself. Oh, I preached in 17, came to Jesus. Yeah, you did, maybe. But that's not the issue.
That's right.
God did that. He does the saving.
Right.
See, notice what he says here, and we'll be done in shortly here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You see, that has shined in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God has done that. He's made an investment of light in you. You can continue to get new light. The more you study His Word, the light goes on even more and more.
More light.
See, it's amazing how much discussion of light is here. And this is thousands of years before Edison's light bulb. And the light bulb became the symbol of a good idea. Still use it today. You see somebody in a little caption bust up over the head with a light bulb, right? We say the light went on. Well, same kind of thing. Well, there wasn't no light bulb when Paul wrote this. They were lighting lamps and candles and all this kind of thing. But it's just interesting to see this type of language in the Bible is still up to date. We have a different view of what it means based on a whole other set of things that have just come to pass. So I want to conclude with this, with just a cursory observation of the characters in the Bible. It is plain to see that regardless of the magnitude of the peril and the depth of trouble that each one was engaged to suffer, God somehow brought them through it. And in the end, and He sustained them during the trial with hope for the future through faith. How did Job make it through all that stuff he went through? It looked like God wasn't going to do nothing for me. My stuff is going from bad to worse. It went on year after year after year after year. Then his so-called friends came and made it worse. Man, you know, you got sin we don't know about. What you doing, Job? You know, what you doing? What you didn't tell us about some of that stuff you got, that dark stuff going on. What's up? They accused him of everything. They accused God of stuff. They were way out of whack. And Job's wife even came and said, "This cuss God and die. Our life is a mess now." And he had to tell her, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He held on in the middle of it.
Right.
See, God took him through it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it says the latter days of his life were blessed even more than the first days when it goes down. So that's why I pick him, because everybody knows about his tragedy. And in the end, he was more blessed than he was when he started. Didn't mean all that was not real. It was not painful. It was not dark times in his life. Same thing with all the other people. You can just pick somebody. Samson is a tragic one to me. He didn't do anything right. Mostly all his life. He was a mess. His parents told him stuff. He didn't do it. He did exactly what they said don't do. He was consecrated from his mother's womb.
Yeah.
A Nazarite. He didn't do anything. He did everything a Nazarite wasn't supposed to do. He touched a dead body. He had stuff from the grape. He cut his hair. He did all kinds of stuff that broke the Nazarite vow, but he still was blessed. They gouged his eyeballs out, cut the light off, if you will, in the end. And you know what he did? He said, "God, just give me strength just enough. I'm going to get these Philistines and that'll be it." And he snatched the towers down and they fell in on him. You know, and it said that he slew more in his death than he had in his life. Because they were all upstairs partying and locked him down between some beams in the basement. He said, "Well, I'm just going to snatch your beams in then now all of a sudden." But he had more glory. God took him through it. No matter what they had to go through, you can pick anybody. Just pick somebody. How about Gideon? Gideon was hiding out down at the wine press.
Yeah.
So what you doing back there, man? Rest of the week.
Yes.
He said, well, mighty man of valor, what you doing back there? God called him a mighty man of valor. He said, what? I'm the one hiding over here trying to save a few coins a week. And he ended up showing him, well, how many people you got? Well, he said, that's too many. God cut them on back till it was a small crew so you could see it's God who was doing the work. See what I mean? Just pick somebody. Pick Ruth. Ruth down here, she is a Moabitess, already got a curse on the whole tribe. She gets a husband from up in the promised land. He dies. And then her other friend, she decided, well, I'm going on back. I'm not going with y'all because Naomi tried to discourage them. She was bitter, had a bitter witness. See, and sent Orpah on back, and Orpah said, I'm going back. She kissed her goodbye. Ruth said, I'm sticking with you like sand, like glue. Honey, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going back with you. Your God's going to be my God. I don't care how bitter you are, how bad of a host you've been.
I'm going to follow you.
But I'm coming back. I'm following you because I believe your God is God.
Yes.
And she got blessed. Yes. God took her through. Woo. You can see it every time. Just look at somebody. They didn't have a trouble-free life.
No.
They had plenty of issues.
Yes.
Plenty of darkness.
Yes.
Rahab took a threat that she might get her head cut off. The king might say, what you hide them folks away for up here if they found out? Mm-hmm. But she took a risk. I'm going to cover them up and hide them. Oh, there they go right there. See that dust down there on the road? That's them.
Yeah.
And they all ran down the road to go find the dust while she had them hiding in some flats on her roof.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? So she went through what she had to. Why? Because I have faith.
Mm-hmm.
I believe God.
Yeah.
I know your God is God.
Yeah.
And I believe he's God, so I'm going to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the walls of Jericho fell, it fell all the way around right where her house was.
Right.
That was it. It was up on the house, and her family was saved. Came down on those scarlet threads from the roof. So all I'm trying to get you to see is all these people look like they had overwhelming darkness in their life.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't see my way through. Don't know how this is going to turn out. The thread is God loves you and his light is stronger than any darkness that you have in your life. So nurture that. I just want to say nurture means to feed your mind into it. Grow up in the fact that the trouble I'm going through is temporary. No matter how tragic or ugly it is, it's temporary and God is using it to strengthen me so I can be a better witness. See, that's what he's doing. The light wins when it's all over. You know what the scripture said there? There won't be need for any the sun or the moon. It's just going to be light. Because God is light.
He is light.
See? And you can worship day and night.
Day and night.
See? In glory. I think about that. How can it be just day all the time?
Wonderful.
And that's why we say we're looking for that wonderful day.
Yes.
See? And it's going to just be a day of total bliss. The darkness will be gone. He's going to howdy howdy. All right now. See what I'm saying? And all the stuff you went through, it's not going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
See? Paul put it this way. Romans, I think it's 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. See? While we look not at the things which are seen, he told the Corinthians, but the things that are not seen. God has promised you total bliss. You can enjoy it now. Don't wait. Don't let the darkness push the light back. That's not right. The light has more power than the darkness. You have power to dispel the darkness. Some of it might have to do with our attitude. What kind of attitude do we have? See, you can have a defeated attitude. Yeah, I'm gonna let the darkness come on in.
Yes.
Blow the candle out. Or you can say, the Lord is my light and the strength of my life.
Yes.
Who shall I fear?
Who can I fear?
You have a choice. Faith will say, grasp on to God.
Hold on.
You see, and he'll bring you through. There is a light. It's not at the end of the tunnel, but it's in your life.
Yes.
Yeah. God's taking you where you need to be. Trust him for the journey. Enjoy the journey. Get where you enjoy the darkness. Okay, here's trouble again. I'm going to smile this time. I'm not going to get high blood pressure and pace the floor all night. I'm going to go to bed and get some rest. I'm going to throw it to the Lord. Peter said, cast all your care upon him. But he cares for you. See? Get it off of you. Give it to God.
Yes.
Take
your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. Take it to the Lord and leave. Get up and enjoy the fact that He loves you just like you are. Gave His Son for you just like you are. Saving you right now. He's the only reason you have as much light as you do have in your mind. Otherwise, we were already in bondage to darkness, weren't we? So you're better than you were when He found you. What He said, He who began a good work in you will continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 and 6. If He started it, He's not going to stop. Keep that in mind. So in other words, I can press with all my might, like Paul said. He said, I haven't made it to the end yet, but this one thing I do, I forget those things that will be behind and look forth unto those that are before, and I press toward the mark. See, that's saying I'm going to have light. I don't care. I mean, He wrote it from the jail. I'm locked in the prison, the worst one in the area. I'm in the filthiest, nastiest dungeon in the area, and I'm writing you folks the Epistle of Joy. It came to be known as the Epistle of Joy.
Amen.
Written out of a filthy jailhouse where I'm being mistreated, spit on, can't use the bathroom, it's nasty in here, it's awful, but I'm writing you the Epistle of Joy. I forget those things that are behind. And look forth unto those that are before, and I press toward the mark for the high upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's nurturing the light even in a dark situation.
Yes.
We could go on and on, and we'll get into it, because the midweek Bible study will eventually get to Hebrews 11. We're almost there. And we'll be talking a little bit more in detail about some of that. Because the writer was telling you about individuals, and he said, time would fail me to tell you of Samson and Jephthah and Barak. And he starts to name all these other folks who wrought righteousness, shut the mouths of lions, were sawn asunder, all kinds of trouble they went through. He said, but they accepted it because they looked forward to a better resurrection. I can go through whatever I have to go through.
Yeah.
A lion boss, I can go through that. That's easy. Somebody trying to displace you or discredit you, that's easy. Stop thinking of your stuff as a bunch of trouble. Realize God is taking you through it and using it to shape you and make you better. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Nurture the light.
Yeah.
And the light will press away the darkness.
Yes,
amen. So we hope you got a good blessing from the word today. And if there's anybody here who is not saved, we just want to put the word out there. We don't think there is today. But we offer you salvation. And it'll be the most important transaction you have ever made. Heaven is making transactions on earth. People on earth don't even understand. You know, they think all these different cosmetics and different stuff is all important. Okay, well, you know, different stuff. A lot of people get hung up on stuff. And the church is making transactions with heaven that whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall not be put to shame. You see, but you will be exalted. God will exalt you right now by grace through faith in His Son. And if you're here, you need a church home. We're just going to say it. I don't think we have any visitors today. But we thank God for the ones who are here.
Amen.
I really do thank God for all of you. He sent you here, and this is a training ground for you. Amen. So you can export the truth. We come in here and fill up on the truth, and we export the truth. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there's none, but yet there's room. So we hope that something from the message will bless you through the week.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So.